Praise team, appreciate that. And I hope that that song kind of touches your heart, that today, you know what, we want to hear the word of God really speak to us right where we are. So we're just going to open up our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to kind of move over to Psalm 119 as well at times. But before we begin, let's just take a moment to settle our hearts, ask God to meet with us, and indeed, may the word of God speak loudly. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, dear God, for the time of worship and praise, Lord, that we've had so far. Thank you, dear God, for the reading of your holy word, Lord, that really just meets us right where we are and speaks to our heart. And I just want to pray, Lord, now as we open up your word, Lord, that you would settle our hearts. Father, there is a myriad of things that are going on in our church family, in our own families. There is probably not one of us that doesn't have an issue or a need, but we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, just right where we're at, and that your word, Lord, would encourage our hearts, convict our hearts, change our hearts, and challenge our hearts, Lord, as we look ahead. Thank you, dear God, for bringing us into a brand new year, a year, Lord, that we have great hopes for, great plans. And Father God, we just submit those now to you, and we ask, Lord, that you would just really work, Lord, at this time. Take away any distractions, Lord, and just guard my words, Lord, that I would speak, Lord, what you want me to say, Lord, not what I want to say. And I just pray these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So I just want to share real quick, we had a great ministry day yesterday with our college and career, and also we had our men's prayer breakfast despite the little dusting of snow. We had about 17 guys come out to Golden Dawn, and we had just a great time of fellowship, thinking about the new year and reflecting on what God would have us do. So just want to thank everybody for coming, and stay tuned. By the way, our next one will probably be in the month of April, and we look forward to having y'all here. So let's just dig into God's word. We're going to go right down to our next slide. We're going to begin a new series today. And by the way, we are going to celebrate the Lord's table and communion as a good way to get our year going in the right direction as well. But I want to talk about this. The title of the series is Like Rain and Snow from Heaven. And it's the incredible power of the Bible to deepen our walk with God. And I want to just stop for a minute. Anybody look outside? My wife this past week, she said, look out in the backyard, look out. And by the way, she loves to look at birds and, you know, whatever else is running across the yard. But she said, look, the grass is turning green. Did anybody else see that? But we had, like, the driest fall. We had just a really, really dry season. And the grass was brown in August, and it hasn't come back. But you know what? We've been receiving a bunch of rain. We're not where we need to be, as the meteorologists tell us. But we've been receiving rain. We got snow. And all of a sudden, the grass is beginning to turn green again. And I want to say this. That's what the Word of God does when it speaks to our heart and when we yield ourselves to what it has to say. And we'll dig in a little bit more. And that picture there is, took that a few years ago. It's like icicles, you know, when they melt down. You know, and they even bring the minerals off of those rocks into the soil. And it just waters the grass, as Isaiah says, and just creates a crop that we can be thankful for. And that's what we're going to look at as we kind of dig into the series. So the first message today is this, and it really comes right out of Isaiah 55. It's an invitation to an amazing life. And I want to skip right on down to the next slide there, Andrea. Yeah, here's the thought. And by the way, is it hard to believe for you that it's the new year, 2025? Literally, it just seems like it was August. And now it's a brand new year. And I'm going to throw out, here's the thought. How can I make the year the greatest in my life? And a bunch of you guys are saying, well, I'm old, so it can't be the greatest. And by the way, we all getting there, so we're thinking that way maybe a little bit too. But you know what? The Bible has a lot to say about that. And if we deepen our walk with God, this year may be our greatest spiritual journey that we ever have. And we'll be able to praise God in whatever goes on this year. And we're going to grow in his grace and grow in his knowledge. And that's what we want to think about today. So we're going to move right on down to our eternal truth. And if you're new with us today, we'll kind of mention, we always kind of put this out. You know, if anybody, you run into someone in the parking lot and they say, what was that? What was church all about? Here's what it was. Deepening my walk with God through his incredible word will renew my mind and enrich my life. It really will. You know, it kind of sounds like magic. It's like the Sunday school, you know, thing you heard back in the day. But it's really true. If I deepen my walk with God through his word, then it's going to renew my mind and enrich my life. Everybody look up for a second. How many folks are married today? Here's an interesting question. If you talk to your spouse as much as you talk to God today, how would that go? Think about that, right? It's a relationship that you have with your spouse, right? And if you're not there, and my wife sometimes say, man, you've been gone a long time today, right? And she's right. You know, I'm here, whatever's going on. But if I don't spend time with her, I don't talk to her, our relationship kind of doesn't move forward, right? And it's the same thing with God. If I don't talk to him, and if I don't listen to him, and by the way that God speaks most is through his word, how is that relationship going to grow or even be sustained? Think about that for a second. And Pastor Ansel, he kind of teed me up today. We've been talking about this idea. You know how we pray to God? Sometimes people pray in King James English. Like that's the only way God hears it, right? But I look at this. When I look at the scriptures and I look at the prophets of the Old Testament, they told God what was on their mind and what was on their heart. And if they were upset with God, they told God. If they were afraid, they told God. Right? If they were having any type of emotion, they told God. If they were ecstatic, they told God. Remember, David danced before God as the king. His wife said, are you crazy? You're the king. Right? But he told God what was on his mind. And I want to encourage us as we dig in this year in the month of January that we want to deepen our walk with God. And I say, of course, Paul, I appreciate you reaching out to me. Send me a text last week because I said this. You know, as a church, we know a whole lot of things about God. We read the Bible sometimes. We read it. We study it. We talk about it. But I hope this year is a year that we really know God and relate to God like he is the person who he is. He's the king of the universe, but he loved us just like we are. And he wants to hear our heart. And he wants us to grow in his grace and knowledge and learn to trust him and follow him in every season and every issue of life. Amen? So that's kind of our goal where we went ahead today. So we're going to hop right on down into the scripture. And by the way, there's some amazing insights that I've learned as I studied the book of Isaiah 55. So go with me to Isaiah 55. By the way, we're going to be looking at Psalm 119 over the next about 6 weeks or so. And I want to encourage you guys, read Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's made up of 176 verses. Right? It's amazing. That's a long chapter, right? That's huge. 176 verses, and they all deal with the Word of God. And we're going to focus on that, Pastor Ansu and I, over the next several weeks. We're going to kind of focus on the messages of Psalm 119 as it talks about how God speaks to us and what does he say. We're going to dive into that. And so Isaiah 55 kind of tees up that study as we get in. So go to Isaiah 55, and we're going to go right into that. And I want to just share, go back one slide, please. I'm sorry, Andrea. She's trying to read my mind, and that can be hard sometimes, right? So the first thing I want to share with you guys, there's two things I want you to get out of this. Notice in Isaiah 55, in the first several verses, there is a call to come to God. And then there's a second thing is, there's a distinct invitation to really seek God. Go after God. Pursue God. There was a book written a long time ago. It's called The Pursuit of Holiness. We are talking about the pursuit of God in our lives. A real, you know, chase for God. So we want to kind of focus on those two things. So we're going to dive right into the first set of verses there. And by the way, look what it says. There's this call to come. Look what the call says. And by the way, it sounds like it's almost written in our day. The first word is, ho! Right? And by the way, that word, you know, we kind of use that word more as like a word of excitement, like, whoa, whoa. Right? That word is actually a word of pity. And the idea that Isaiah, as he writes this down as a prophet, he says, you know, I'm kind of so sorry for this people because they really don't know who God is. They're in captivity. They're suffering. They're going through all sorts of things, and they don't know who God is. And by the way, this passage, he begins to debunk some ideas that we all have. He says, come to the waters. You know, and by the way, in New Jersey, we say, come to the waters. Other places, we say, come to the waters. Right? But you come either way, how you say it, come. And here's the idea. The water is the place where your thirst is quenched. And by the way, he's not talking about, you know, the thirst in your mouth. You know, I could throw you a bottle of water or something like that. He's talking about the thirst that's deep in your soul for more, for better, for something that really satisfies you. And I remember back in school, I took a class. You know, my first degree was in business. I took a class in economics. And there's this economic concept. It's called diminishing marginal utility. Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody know what that is, right? You know what that is, right? And here's that concept, right? You know, by the way, we're not serving it today, so don't get too excited. But if I said, you know what, after church, we have pizza in room 20 and 21. A lot of you guys would be going, oh, man, that's good, right? And that first slice of pizza, right, it's like, it's like so good. You know, it's like the definition of comfort food, right? But the second slice isn't quite as good. And for some of us, the third slice, not any better. And the fourth slice, you know, you're kind of just getting full, right? And that's the idea of diminishing marginal utility. Every successive thing you have is less satisfying. And I want to throw out to us, we have tried so many things in our lives, we almost think that we can't be satisfied. But look what the Lord says. He says, I want you to come if you're thirsty to me, and I'm going to satisfy your soul. And I'll throw this out. Maybe in a way that most of you guys are going, I can't believe it's true. I've tried, but I guarantee as we dig into God's word and we talk to God and he talks to us, he is going to satisfy our soul in a way that we can't even imagine. And notice what he says. He says, and by the way, here's the thought. One of the barriers that people think to everything in life is what? Money. And then a barrier. Some people can't get good medical care because they don't have any money. You know, some people struggle to get good food because they don't have any money. Well, let me say this. God's word and God's best for you is not inhibited by any economic barrier at all. And look what he says. He says, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight in abundance. And I'll throw this out. It's a little bit like when we go to the food bank today, right, Brother Guy? Guy does not have a cash register at the food bank. Right? You don't have to ring it up. You don't have to get in line for that. You got to get in line to get the food, but there's no register there. Right? And praise God. It's church. We don't do that, right? I don't think, right? Guy, have you ever thought about having a register? Sometimes, right? But here's the challenge, right? He's saying, God's saying, come to me. There's no cost. Nobody's too poor. Nobody's, you know, too rich. Nobody's too anything. He just says, come. And there's that invitation to come, right? Buy and eat. Come get what you need that will satisfy your soul. And I want to encourage you guys, look at the screen. Notice there's a bunch of actions that God wants us to do. And by the way, the first one is just come. Give God a try. You've tried everything else. Come and try God. Try his word. And by the way, he says it numerous times. Look, he says, come. Come to the waters. Come buy and eat. Yes, come. Buy wine and milk. He just says, come out. Please come. Notice he says next. He says, listen carefully to me. And I want to challenge us. As we look at God's word, sometimes we read it so fast, we know what he's saying. We don't understand the context. We don't understand what was really going on, and it seems like it's meaningless. But I want to challenge us in this new year, Let's listen to what God says. By the way, did your parents ever say this? I know you hear me, but you don't listen. Like the problem isn't our ear. The problem is our heart and our minds, right? You know, we have to really say, what is God saying? Ask the text questions. If you don't understand, pray to God. Look in a commentary. Ask someone else. Say, what's God really saying here? You know, come to Sunday school. Come to church. We'll try to explain exactly what God's saying. Because God has one point in every passage, and his point was why he said it. And he wants us to get it and understand it. But he says, listen carefully. He says, delight yourself in abundance. You know, and by the way, we always kind of feel like we have a lack. But God says, you know what? If you dig into my word and you grow in your relationship, you're going to feel a different emotion and one of abundance. And by the way, look what he says next. He says, incline your ear. By the way, there's this concept in Hebrew, as you read the Old Testament especially, there's a concept especially in many of the Old Testament books. It's called parallelism of thought. It means God says it one way. And then because he knows sometimes we're kind of slow, he says the same thing another way. And sometimes we'll even do it three times and four times because he wants us to really get it and understand it. And he says it here. He says, incline your ear and come to me here, which is the same thing, right? And your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. And I want to stop for a second. You know, as you read the book of Isaiah chapter 55, and you read the book of Isaiah in general, God is talking about something that is everlasting. And if you develop a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, it is never, ever going to change. You know, as Christians, we have something called eternal security. No one will ever take away your salvation. You can't give it away. You can't. John chapter 10 says this. Says that you're in God's hand. You're in Jesus' hands. It's called the double-fisted grip. Is what people call the passage. And you can't jump out. Nobody can pull you out. God is not letting you go. Right? Now, I'll tell you about in life, right? Things come pretty loosely, don't they? They come and they go. You know, think about our money, right? Sometimes it comes in and the bill beat the check. Right? You know, the money's already spent. It's gone. It's gone. It's like, wow, I got that paycheck today. But, you know, the bills came Thursday and Friday the check just came to take care of what was owed. Right? But in Scripture, you know what? God is never going to let us go. And this covenant, this relationship, this agreement, this contract that God makes in a unilateral way will never, ever change. And that's an awesome thing. That's what God wants us to understand. A couple things I want you guys to think about real quick. Here's this idea. I mentioned it already. Thirsting, right? It's a metaphor, right? What satisfies a person's spirit? So we are thirsting for something greater than a Coke, a Pepsi, or whatever wets your whistle, right? We're thirsting for more than that. The words of action, we mentioned that, right? Desire, and they just kind of express desire and humility. You know, God, I've tried everything else. I'm coming to you because I want my thirst to be satisfied. And I want you to get a hold of this. And you would never know this if you didn't understand the text, right? It says, I'll make a covenant, everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Guess what he's talking about? You know, in the Old Testament prophecies, God promises an eternal offspring. His name is Jesus. We just celebrated his birth. In a little while, we're going to celebrate his death and his resurrection. And we are going to be redeemed, and we are going to have eternal life as a result of those things. And by the way, look what he said. So God's promises of an eternal offspring, Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne. It's an eternal throne. And I'll throw this out. Aren't you glad there's no election for that throne? Hallelujah. Right? Amen to that, right? You know, like no matter who you pick, they got issues, right? No matter who you pick, they got issues. Guess what? God picked Jesus, and there'll be no issues. There'll be no election. There'll be no recall. There'll be no vote. None of those things are going to be an issue when we move forward, right? God promises that to be true. It's an eternal throne. He's an eternal offspring. And guess what? There is an eternal kingdom. Everybody look up. And you're going to be in it as a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, and by the way, remember at the last words of scripture were, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? That's why, because, you know, this kingdom isn't bad, but that kingdom is going to be, and we use this word so much, awesome. That's what we're looking for. So the call is, come. We'll go to the next passage. Take us down there, if you would, please, Andrea. And then look at the next thing. There's a call to come, and I just picked it up. He says, indeed, I've given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people, Jesus. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and the nations who you do not know shall run to you. I want you to get this idea. This prophecy was to the Jews, right, to the people of Israel. But look what happened. God says, this is a prophecy that touches the entire world. And by the way, it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis when God gave Abraham this promise, right? He said that he's going to raise up this person. And he said, in him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that's an awesome thing to get your hands on, right? So this fulfillment, the fulfillment of God's promises to David in the resurrection of Jesus serves as a witness to these nations. And it extends to everyone. But here's the question. Will you answer the call to come to God with humility for his word and his promises? Everybody look up. Let me see your eyes for a second. Did anybody make a resolution this year? Some people made a resolution not to make any more resolutions. Right? And why is that? You know why? Because... You know, by the way, today is January 5th, so some of those revolutions have already failed, right? But here's the issue here, right? God said, come. And by the way, God said, come just like you are. He knows you're a mess. He knows Pastor Gary is a big mess, but he said, come anyway. Come. And he's going to do some great things. And I just want to encourage us, come to God with humility. And come to God looking for his promises. And here's the deal. Come to the Lord so that you can participate in the Davidic kingdom and seek the Lord and find your pardon. So check it out. No matter how bad you are, maybe there's some bad people in the congregation today, right? By the way, if you look in the mirror, we are bad people, right? You look kind of good today, right? But we're all kind of bad folks. And here's the deal. God just says, I want you to come, and I want you to find your pardon. By the way, this isn't the kind of pardon, you know, presidents leave, and they pardon everybody, and everybody fights about who they pardon. This is the king of the universe who has the ability to pardon because he paid the penalty for your sin. On the cross, he died. He shed his blood. He rose again. And if he wants to pardon you, there is no one in the universe who can refute that. Right? Amen to that, right? God wants us to come because he wants to pardon us and he wants to give us an abundant life, as Jesus said in John 10. So we're going to skip down. Take us down there quickly if you would. Not only is there an invitation to come, there's an invitation to seek. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. And by the way, look at Psalm 119. We brought that up. Look what God says. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who do what? Seek him with a whole heart. So there's this invitation. If you seek after God, by the way, let me say this. There is nothing but good things for you. Think about this for a second. Have you ever sought something and found out it wasn't really what you wanted? You know, maybe you've, like, spent years chasing it. But we do that, you know, with money. We do that with power. We do that to get stuff. And at the end of the day, we're like, wow, that wasn't such a good thing as I thought. You know? But the Lord says, man, if you seek me, look what you're going to get. Seek the Lord while he can be found. Now, I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. Anybody ever hear this verse? Tomorrow is the day of salvation. Oh. A couple people have read their Bible already this year, right? Yeah, the Bible never says tomorrow's the day of salvation. The Bible says today's the day of salvation, so seek God now. Don't wait, because you don't even know if tomorrow's coming for you. Right? Amen? We don't know. We don't know about that. God says today, seek God while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let me say this. God's near. You know why? God's in the saving business right now in this age called the church age, and he wants to fill up the ark, the boat, with everybody who will call on the name of Jesus for their salvation. He's near, and he's in the business now of saving people, and he wants us to come. And by the way, the way we find out about that is we got to go to his word. We can't find it in the paper. By the way, there is no more paper really much, right? We can't really find it on the internet. This is about the Bible. God says, go to his word. He's going to tell you where you're going to find your hope, where you're going to find your help. Come to him and seek him now. And I want to throw this out. Remember we talked about those words of action a minute ago? Well, these are words of action. They're words of desire as we seek God and come to him. They're words of humility, because we got to humble ourselves and say we can't do it ourselves. But they are words of urgency. Because today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today is the day. And we kind of got to get a hold of that. So here's the kind of a question. Are you going to answer the call? You know, and by the way, you're not too bad. You're not too poor. You're not too anything. The call's out. Seek after God. Go to his word. He's going to tell you everything you need to know. And he's put people on earth who already have received that invitation, and they can help you find the way, right, by the grace of God. Find that part, right? So we're going to skip down. Take us down quickly, Andrea. Here's the thought. We got to renew our minds. Man, our minds are full of a lot of stuff, ain't they? Sorry, aren't they? They're full of a lot, right? They're full of a lot of stuff. Our minds are full of so many things, right? But look what he says, and a couple of points I want you to get a hold of. There's this eternal contrast of our sin and God's grace. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible says, the wages of sin is what? Death. But it also says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? So there's this contrast of our sin versus God's grace. Everybody look up. Guess who wins? God's grace. God's grace wins. God's grace takes care of it. And then the last thing I want you to kind of get a hold of here, and that's where our focus is for this month, is the life-giving power of the Word of God. And what I'm talking about is sometimes you read God's Word, and you are like so low, you're below the dumps. And God says, you know what? I love you. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again. Better days are coming. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never do any of those things. That's what the Word of God, right? It pulls us out of the trash heap, out of the pile, and it lifts us up, and it puts us on our feet, and it puts us on the road to better things. Right? That's what God's Word does. And we're going to look at that real quick this morning. So, Andrea, take us down. This contrast, right? By the way, how many folks have ever read this verse? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And by the way, share with me real quick, interact with me. What comes to your mind when you think about that? Yeah, God's great enough, does whatever he wants, sure. And I think, here's my thought about thinking about this. I think about, my ways are so in the flesh, so about me, so selfish, so sinful. God's ways aren't anything like that. By the way, let me add that. That's the bad part of me, right? But here's the other thing. I'm a human being. My thoughts are so finite. If I haven't experienced it, maybe I can't relate to it. You know, I don't understand. I don't know what tomorrow's really going to bring. I have no idea, you know, what's going to happen in America or the rest of the world. I don't know what's going to happen after I leave this earth. I don't know where my kids will be, my grandkids. I don't know any of those things. But everybody look up. But God does. But God does, right? And then he says, my ways are higher than yours and my thoughts than yours. This passage, remember, it's all about this covenant, this Davidic covenant that says what? Jesus is coming. He's going to be king. He's going to be on the throne. And salvation is available to everyone. Right? So I want you, as you guys read this passage, the root of this passage, and understanding, by the way, it applies in every other area. Your thoughts, my thoughts, and God's thoughts are not the same thoughts. But he applies this very specifically. And by the way, in the same way, we would not. He's saying, you know what? My sin is more awful than I think. And I'll throw this out. Don't we look at, we look at all the real bad sins, we go, man, that guy's terrible. But I'm pretty good. Don't we do that? I can't believe they would do that. No one knows what me and you are thinking about doing, right? Can't believe that. So our sins are more awful than we think. And by the way, we deserve God's punishment. We deserve eternal condemnation. We deserve that. But here's where God's thoughts and my thoughts and your thoughts deviate. Here's the funny thing. Would any of us want Hitler, Mussolini, the Ayatollah? Would anyone want like to have them be in heaven with us? Nope. Guess what? God has a different thought. If any of those people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they got a seat. Unbelievable, right? And by the way, everybody look up. So do you. So do I. So God's thoughts are different than our thoughts because God wants to save us. God wants to give us his grace. He wants to give us his mercy. He's not trying to judge us and condemn us to hell. In fact, Jesus said that. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. I read a commentary that said this. We live in a dog-eat-dog world. Right? Not a dog-forgive-dog world. Amen? Anybody live in that world where the dogs forgive each other? Or the people? No, we don't live like that, right? We live in this dog-eat-dog world. You know, we're here for ourselves. You know, the fittest survive, and we're going to survive. Well, guess what? God created a different world for him, and it's a world where God forgives our sin, and his thoughts toward us, as it says in Jeremiah 29, are what? Thoughts for good, that we might have a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Right? And where do I find that? I find that in the scriptures, not on Facebook, any other place. I find it in the Word of God. And that's why I got to go to the Word of God. And that's why I got to seek Him. And I'll just leave you with one last thought. You guys remember Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20? It's a benediction to a prayer that Paul said. He said this. He says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we would ask or think. That kind of gives us an idea about how God's thoughts and our thoughts are a little different, right? God's able to do and think exceedingly abundantly above whatever I could even imagine. And that starts with our salvation, you know, as we put our faith and trust in Christ. Andrea, take us down. So the life-giving power of God's word, and check this out, right? It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. So get this idea in your mind. There is life-giving power in God's word. Amen. If you think nobody loves you, read God's word. Amen. Right? If you think that there's no hope for you, read God's word. If you think that you are the worst person on earth and God doesn't want any part of you, read God's word. Right? The scriptures are this place of life-giving hope. The words of God speak hope. They speak peace. They speak love. And I'll throw this out. They do speak condemnation. But here's the deal. As long as we humbly go to God, they also speak eternal forgiveness. Right? There's nobody hopeless. There's nobody helpless. There's nobody who's really alone. There's no one that God has forsaken or God has left. The word of God gives us this life-giving hope. And look what he says. He says, and by the way, how about this? So he says, the words that God speak, they are guaranteed to accomplish what God intended. Isn't that kind of good? And I've spoken a whole lot of words. Probably it's good that half of them I could not accomplish. Right? But when God speaks it and they're meant for our good and our blessing and our salvation, God will bring it to pass. God's word. It's just like we talk about here. I love this picture. What a picturesque way of saying it, right? He says, it's like when the rain and the snow come down and they water the earth. Everybody look up. Anyone ever been to the desert before? Anybody been to a desert? California, Arizona. You have lots of Liberia. Is there a desert in Liberia? Folks from Liberia? Mali. Okay, Mali Republic. Yeah, desert. The Sahara Desert in Africa, right? Well, check this out. It's miraculous. When the rains come, they don't come much, the desert comes alive. Unbelievable. But that's what God, like, maybe we're walking in that desert in our life. When the rains come, God accomplishes his purpose. Growth happens. Life is given. Seeds sprout, right? Offspring develop. Results come. God's words of grace and truth speak eternal life into our dead souls. And that's an awesome thing. Andrea, take us to the next thing. Psalm 119 said that, right? We looked at it before. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They will do no iniquity. They'll walk in his ways. Everybody look up. Anybody ever struggle with a specific sin? When God gets a hold of your heart through his word and in the power of his Holy Spirit, the sin you couldn't stop doing, you can stop. Isn't that life-giving? That is life-giving. That's awesome, right? He says, you've commanded us to speak your, keep your precepts, your principles of scripture diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed by your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. Are you ashamed of how your life looks? As you open up God's word in the power of the Holy Spirit, he can take that shame away, right? And then he says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. By the way, that's the psalmist just crying out, don't forsake. God is never going to forsake you. And he says it in his word. So I want you to think about this. Think about the consistent effect of rain and snow. When the rain comes and the snow comes, what's it do? It waters the ground every single time. There isn't a time it doesn't do it. Good things happen, right? God's word of grace and truth consistently speak eternal life into our dead souls, and we can have confidence about it. And that's what we got to go after. We've got to go to his word to find these hopeful things. Andrea, take us down. It enriches our lives. And I want you, I'm going to leave you with this last thought. And take us to the verses right away, Andrea. See that beautiful bird and that beautiful tree, right? God's word brings us rejoicing. Look what it says. When the word of God has done its job, it says, and you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. By the way, I don't know about your house. I haven't seen the trees like clapping, right? I haven't seen that yet. But here's the picture, right? That's the picture I say, you know what? When God works in our lives, there is going to be this significant eternal joy that everyone will celebrate. Amen. Romans 8 says this, by the way. It says that all creation is under the curse of sin. And all of creation is just crying out for redemption. Well, guess what? When we're redeemed, all of creation will clap their hands. And that's sort of this picture. And we'll go down to the next verse there, Andrea, quickly, if you would. And I want you to get this in your minds. This is what God's all about. So look what he says. Redemption. Snatched out of eternal death to new eternal life. It says, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. What's he saying about that? Here's what God's word does. God's word takes us from a place of judgment to a place of salvation. You know what? Anybody ever tangle with a briar? You come out, it's like this bush of thorns. I think it's only meant to hurt you. In our first house, we had these briars all over the place, right? And I had to go out there, and you would only tear out so many because you would just be all ripped up and you wouldn't want to do anymore, right? Briars, right, are like the judgment of God upon the sinner who doesn't have Jesus. But it says, but the cypress tree and the myrtle tree, right? By the way, the myrtle tree, everybody knows what a myrtle tree is? It's a tree that has a very, very smooth bark. It's almost like there's no bark on it. And it has either beautiful white or yellow flowers and really shiny leaves. Now, I don't know about you, having had the briars in my backyard, I'm taking the myrtle tree every time. Right? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, this is the judgment, but this is the blessing when I seek God in his word and I find the salvation I'm looking for. And I want to encourage us. We will have rejoicing and we will have redemption from whatever we are stuck in. And take us down one more, please, Andre, if you would. So what are we going to do? We're about to do communion in just a second. But what are we going to do? By the way, many of you guys have a Bible on your lap. You have a Bible on your telephone. You have a Bible in your house on the shelf. The question is, what are we going to do with it this year? Because that's the place I'm going to find hope, life, change, power, all those things. What are we going to do? Here's what we got to do. Number one, we got to plan. And I'll throw this out. Plan into your day to take time to digest God's word. Plan that in your day. Plan it in there, right? Here's the next thing. Because I know it's January 5th. Y'all had some resolutions. I'm going to draw closer to God. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And some of us are heavier and haven't opened up God's word yet. Right? So here's the deal. We got to persist. There's going to be days when you fail. Get back up and try again. Open up God's word. By the way, even the greats, Moses, Paul, David, they all failed. Why should we think we're not? Right? Persist. Hang in there. Keep doing it. You failed today, get back up and do it tomorrow. Pray. God, give me the strength, give me the power, give me the vision. Help me to order my steps and order my day so that this is possible. Right? Pray. Ask God. Ask God to make his word clear and understandable and make it sweet and make it challenging and make it something I want to do. How many folks like exercise? There should be more hands than that. Come on. A little bit. I like a little bit. Yeah, right? In a serious way, okay, so you guys kind of proved the point already, right? In a serious way, does anybody, like, wake up, you know, it's dark outside, it's 20 degrees outside, you made a commitment, this year I'm going to get up and I'm going to go out and I'm going to exercise every day. And do you immediately, get up, jump up in the air, get your clothes on, I don't care if it's cold, and go outside and do it? And you guys always said, how many people you guys like exercise? And I didn't get right? It's the same way with the Word of God. That's why I got to persist. I got to pray, God, help me to do what's good for me. Right? And the Word of God is always good, right? And then, like Daniel did in our Daniel fast, right? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the delicacies of the king in Babylon. He said, guess what? This is what I'm going to do. And I want to encourage you guys today. Determine in your heart, this is what I'm going to do. Sometimes it'll be two steps forward, one back. Sometimes it'll be two back and one forward. But by the end of the year, be persistent, guys, where your life will be changed. Amen? Amen? And we're going to keep talking about that in the weeks ahead. So we got a purpose to do that. So we're going to pray. Father God, move us, Lord, in this direction of positive change in the power of your word. Help us, dear God, not to be dissuaded, Lord, from that, not to be discouraged about that, not to be overwhelmed with anything. But, Lord, I pray, Lord, today that this year we would find the power in your word that is life-changing, life-giving. And I pray, dear God, that it would be something that we just seek with all of our hearts. Work in us today, Lord. We know there's going to be obstacles and adversaries and problems and all those things, but I pray, dear God, may your word speak to us. Father, help us to commit to going after you, Lord, seeking you with a whole heart and finding the blessing we desire. Lord, work in our hearts, I pray. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Right. We're going to ask our deacons to come on up. And we're going to celebrate the Lord's table, right? That's the mercies of David, right? There is an eternal king. There is an eternal throne. And there is an eternal kingdom. And believers in Jesus Christ have gone from death to life. And when we take the Lord's table and we celebrate that, that's what we are commemorating. We're remembering what Jesus did, and that's what we want to do today. And we're going to do this in remembrance of the Lord this morning. If you did not get the communion elements, they come in a little plastic cup, chalice, where the bread is on one side and the drink is on the other side. Just raise your hand. They're out there in the back, but they're here for you now. Deacon Jackson's right here. Deacon Johnson is right there. If you didn't get one, just raise your hand. I'll just say this. Communion, or the celebration of the Lord's table, is for believers in Jesus Christ, where we celebrate with thanksgiving Jesus' death for us and his burial and his resurrection and new life. Who needs one? I see a couple of hands there in the back. If you're a believer in Christ, we invite you to celebrate. If you're not a believer, just watch, because this is what it's all about. We're different people. So I just want to encourage you, go back to Isaiah 55. It's kind of an unusual message about communion, right? But I want to say this, and I want to just remind us what we just learned, right? My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God's way is that he would send his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His body would be broken to pay the penalty for our sins. His blood would pay that price, and we would be born again to new life. And I'm going to ask Deacon Richard if he would come up. He's already here, by the way. You came up. Thanks. By the way, he heard that message about come, so he came. He's here, right? But Deacon Richard is going to pray for the bread that represents the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for this time. Thank you to God that you made a sacrifice that no man can make for another man. You came from heaven, you came down and died for our sin. Amen. This sacrifice is greater than no other man can do. Father, we say thank you. This bread that we're going to eat this afternoon is a symbol of your body that was broken on the cross of Calvary for our sake. Father, we say thank you. You said we should do this in remembrance of you. So, Father, we have come this afternoon to do as you said. As we take in this bread, those that are sick, let it bring healing. Those that are weak, let it give us strength. Father, we say thank you that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Take out that small piece of bread, right? Remember, we learned this a couple weeks ago. We're reminded of this in the Christmas story. Jesus, the bread of life, was born in Bethlehem, that partaking of his body would result in the forgiveness of our sins, the payment for everything we did wrong, and would give us eternal life. That's what we remember. Let's partake together. Pastor Anthony is going to come and celebrate the cup with us.
Amen. Amen. In Matthew 26, in verse 28, to 29, Jesus, while he was with his disciples, he says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins." And in verse 29, he said, "But I said to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And that's something we should be anticipating as believers, right? We fellowship in here and now. But Jesus saying to his disciple, he looked forward to that day in his Father's kingdom. And that's going to be a mess. Imagine God's children together. How wonderful is this going to be? And so as we just think about that, Jesus telling us what he anticipated. Think about it also as we fellowship together here. Tegan John will pray for the wine.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the heart. Father mighty God, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you, Father, that you brought us this far, Lord. We come together this afternoon to celebrate, which you have commanded for us, Lord. Father Almighty God, as we are about to partake this together, in remembrance of you, I pray that this moment, this cup that represents your blood, we bless, we heal, we touch our broken hearts, Lord. Even as we move on this year, we guide us, direct us, and help us to move closer to you. We pray that all closed doors shall be open in this year in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, mighty God, we just thank you. We thank you for your love. And as we do this together, we pray that your blessing, your grace, that's more than anything else, will dwell in our life, in our home, in our cities, in our country. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. So let us open a drink together. Amen.
So we're going to close with a song. And we are just a short verse. I'm going to ask you guys, you know, like in a football game, sometimes the quarterback, he looks at the play and goes, "Wait a second, we're going to change the game." I'm going to ask if we could sing a couple of stanzas of Amazing Grace.
Okay.
The one we just sang. Because you know what? As believers in Jesus Christ, the Word of God gives us joy. It gives us redemption, right? So we're going to sing a couple of stanzas of This is Amazing Grace, and then we're going to make our way out to our wine and practice and those other things.
This is
leave church today with a smile on our face and a joy in our heart that life is not the same. And guess what? We read about that in God's word, about his eternal king, his eternal covenant, and his eternal kingdom that we are now part of because of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to encourage you today. Read Psalm 119 as we go into January. There's a Devo also in the book on fasting that Pastor Ansu has out there on the table. All those devotionals, daily bread, the word for you today. By the way, there's a daily bread. If you have a hard time with your eyes, there's a big version. Get that if that's you, right? But we got to get in God's word and hear the good news and the life-giving words.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Ansu going to pray us out of here. And I hope that we see you next week as we dig into God's word and learn what a blessing it will be to us in the days ahead.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing our hearts. Thank you, O God, that you reveal yourself to us through your word. You speak to us through your word, and that gives us hope even when we are hopeless. That gives us strength when we are without strength. We thank you, Lord, that we have your word, O God, daily. And Lord, that we will just go into your word and trust your word, O God. And that we will lean not our own understanding, but Lord, that your word will guide our hearts in every step of the way. Going this year forward, O God, we will embrace your word and anything in our lives, O God. Seeking you, O God, through your word, getting to know you personally. And Lord, our lives will be strengthened in you, O God. And our foundation will be stronger than ever because your word has established us, O God. And you have established us in your word. We just thank you. Lead us through the rest of this day and the week as we celebrate. Lord, we say, be glorified, be honored, and let your name be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.